All right, if you would please turn with me to the first chapter of Mark. First chapter of Mark is where we'll be today. Now, in the first chapter of Mark, we will see Jesus calling his disciples. And before we get into it, I want to share with you a little story of something that happened through the week that goes right in along with this message. So, on Thursday, was it Thursday morning, Roger? It was Thursday morning. Thursday morning, I got the opportunity to be blessed to go out with Farron and with Roger, and we went to do some fishing. Now, we were out there for a good long time. Well, what would you say, probably 5-6 hours or so we was out there on the lake? 5 or 6 hours, and they were breaking me in to West Virginia style, all right? And I'd never used anything called a Helgamite before, ever. And little did I know that Roger has some secret bait. Was it talcum worms? Catalpa worms. I don't know what those things were, but he brought out this bag, right? And he was trying to help me. Because it just, apparently, I'm not that great of a fisherman. And he was like, here, Josh, put some of these on your pole, on your hook there. These will do the trick. All right, he had them in a little Ziploc bag. And over the course of that 5 or 6 hours, I came to realize something, and I was thinking about this very message. And you know what dawned on me by the time we left the lake that day? I'm real glad that God called us all to be fishers of men, because a fisher of fish I are not. That's right. I did not catch one. That's right. Not a one. In fact, Farron was the only one, wasn't he? I'm glad that Farron was with us, because without Farron, we'd have just been three guys in a boat. So luckily, we can say, yes, we went fishing. Yeah. So you can guess what our message is on this evening then. Our message is on fishers of men. So as I said, in the first chapter there of Mark, we see Jesus calling the first of the disciples. He calls, of course, Simon, who is later known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. Now, as we speak about this specific passage of Scripture tonight, our emphasis, of course, is on many different names for it: evangelism, soul winning, giving the gospel, winning people over to Christ. That is the emphasis of the message. And the reason that we do that is it is in hopes that the Spirit of God might work in their lives. Similarly, in the 28th chapter of Matthew, we have the Great Commission. And it is Jesus' command for us to give the gospel to all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So here in just a moment, we'll jump right into Mark chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 16 and 17. But before we do that, let's pray for the message. Father God, we come to you tonight to thank you for, first and foremost, our salvation. We thank you for the cross, what happened at Calvary, Lord. Lord, we lift up a praise and worship to you, for you're worthy of it. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given, for we know that tomorrow is not a promise. Lord, we know that we are feeble and that we are finite, Lord, and we thank you for the day that you've given. Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord, where the work that you did in Megan's life and the opportunity that we had to be a blessing to her, to baptize her. We pray, Lord, that you'd use us in a mighty way for your glory, to help her and to others to come to know you better. Father, we pray for the message tonight. I pray that you would help me to think clearly, Lord, to speak clearly, to understand and to give understanding of your word and your will and your way. Father, we pray for our church family, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that we do and all that we say, that the message tonight would be applied in our lives, that we would not simply, as we so often do, Lord, help us to not just hear the word and walk away, but, Lord, to hear it, to store it within our hearts, Lord, and to apply it to our lives, that you would be glorified, and that through us, man may come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Mark chapter 1, head down to verse 16 and 17. Now, folks, you're kind of getting a grab bag tonight as far as how long you're going to be here. Because I was just talking to my wife, and see, I forgot my watch. I have no clocks and no time. So, folks, I don't want to know about it. I'm not even going to look at it. Honey, don't point out that I'm wrong right as I'm getting to it, okay? Don't help me, helper. Don't help me, all right? So I'm just going to go with the gusto, and we may end up getting out of here a little bit earlier tonight. You may need a pack of lunch. I don't know. We'll see. All right, so join me there for verse 16. I'm just fooling with you. All right, so it says, now, speaking of Jesus, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, you will notice that Scripture tells us their profession, that they were fishers, right? That they were fishermen. It also tells us that when Jesus saw them, he was by the Sea of Galilee, and that as he saw them, they were casting their nets. Now, this, is, I believe, is an important detail as we use this to apply biblical truth to our lives in the winning of souls and the giving of the gospel to fulfill the Great Commission. I do not believe that any part of Scripture is coincidental. Therefore, everything is there for a purpose. I do not believe that God says anything without great reason. Now, let's talk for a second here about some of the things that we see in what we've just read. First, understand that being fishers, let's look at that fact of their professions for a moment. They had things that were intended for the purpose of catching fish. Now, specifically, I'm talking about the net, right? Unlike me and Farron and Roger, they weren't out there with a fishing pole. They were casting a net. And the reason they were casting a net is because you catch a lot more fish with a net than you do with a pole, right? Now, I want us to look at the gospel as our net. But before we really get into diving into that illustration, which will come in a moment, let me ask you, has anyone here ever fished with a net or seen it done? Have you ever seen anyone cast a net? So when you take it, can you just take that net and can you just throw it out there? Is that how it's done? No, it's not. You got to cast that thing just right, right? You got to lay it so it spins, and it's got to land flat. Otherwise, it doesn't fall wide, right? I mean, you can just throw it out there, and you might get lucky. But you want that thing to land flat on the water so that you have the widest area, and the net will come down and catch the fish. Otherwise, you just throw a jumbled mess up there, all right? It's kind of like what my kids do after we take down the Christmas lights each year. They just take them and throw them in the garage. So we don't want that. That's not how it's done. Okay, you want it to throw out there wide. I had to tease them. So, and, you know, you can't just throw it in there and voila, you get fish. Now, here's the other thing about that. The ends of that net have weights on them. I don't know if you realize that or not, if you ever looked at one. The ends of the fishing net all the way around have a very, very small, very little weight, but compared to the net, it is heavier, right? So what does that cause it to do? That causes the outsides of the net to fall faster, the ends fall faster than the actual netting does, which is what causes the fish to get trapped in the net, and then you can pull the net back up, right? You cinch them together and pull the net up. That's how it works, right? So notice, though, that it was designed, these nets were designed for fishing, and they were equipped with them for this purpose. Now, and they would perfect this cast, okay? My kids watch this cartoon show with Goofy in it, where Goofy is trying to do the perfect cast when he goes fishing. He's like, yeah, you gotta spin it around, and you gotta go over the back, and you gotta turn around and cast it, right? Like there's an art to it, according to Goofy, which I don't know if that'd be where I'd get my fishing knowledge from. But the point I was making is there is an art, there is a craft to it. There's a right way and a wrong way to cast our net. And the same goes with the gospel. There is a right way to cast our gospel net so that we might catch and be fishers of men. And there's a wrong way to cast that net. Okay? Anyone who's ever been soul winning will tell you, yeah, There definitely is a right way and a wrong way to do it, and I've seen both. So, similarly, as fishers of men, we too use a net intended to catch lost souls, that is, men and women. Now, our net is designed also for its intended purpose, and the gospel is that net. Now, our net is woven with the promises that the gospel message carries. That is the actual mesh. That is what the net is, right? It is the promises of God. It is the promises that we find in the gospel. And stick with me as I give you illustration after illustration of what these things are on the net. And when we get to the end, it's all going to make clear sense, I hope. It's all going to make a picture that you'll get. And so, what does this mean? It means that we must cast our nets if we want to be effective, then we have to be effective at casting our gospel net, which means that we must cast our net so that the promises of God are what catch the fish. That's what we want to catch the fish with, all right? And in this case, by fish, we mean souls, lost souls, sinners. The promises of God are what we want to use to do that with. Now, let me explain this just for a minute here. Telling someone the basic things of the gospel, the basic things of God, normally will not do the job. And here's what I mean by that. Simply telling people that God is love is not enough. Simply telling people that Jesus died on the cross isn't enough. Are you casting the net? Yes, but are you casting it the way you should? I would say no if that's all you're giving. I would say that that's not the reason. And to go along with that, we have to ask ourselves, am I giving the whole of the gospel message when I cast my net? If I'm a fisher of men and I'm going to catch fish for God, when I cast that net out, am I giving the whole of the gospel, or is there a hole in the net that I'm casting? We often give pieces of the picture, but not all of it. All of the net is required. We're going to expound a little bit on just what I mean by all of the net. So, we must tell them of the gospel message and the promises that it holds. If all we do is to give the very basic and generalized information, they'll look at the net from afar off, and ultimately, they will most likely choose not to come towards. The second thing that our gospel net is that our gospel net is also weighted. There are weights on our gospel net. Now, can you guess what the weights are on the net that we're casting as fishers of men? It's God's law. God's law, his righteousness, his judgments, his commandments. This is an important part of the gospel. Often we neglect to give this part, or we don't give it fully. And it's an important part of the gospel net. So the promises of God and the promises of Christ and what he's done, those are what compose our mesh or the netting, so to speak. And then the laws of God, his commandments, his judgments, his righteousness, are the weights of that net, all right? Those which pull it down and around them, and that will, and here's the imagery. See if I can put this imagery into words, because I have the imagery in my mind, but I haven't rehearsed how exactly to deliver this imagery. So imagine these weights being the law of God as that which, when cast around, are what pulls down and surrounds the fish, the person, to where they realize, I cannot escape this. I cannot escape God's commandments. I cannot escape his law. I cannot escape his righteousness. That is what surrounds the fish. But what actually catches and holds it are the promises. Okay? We first have to get someone to understand their need for God, which is the purpose of the weights, before the netting, which is the promises of God, will hold them. Very important to understand. Now, in fact, it is in light of God's laws and judgments that the gospel's true power and promise can be seen. Without, well, you know what? I'll let him explain this. I'll let him explain this. Here in a minute, I'll give you a quote of a well-known preacher who says it much better than I do. So what does this tell us about being fishers of men? It tells us that if we want to be effective, we must understand that people only, get this, they only come to Christ when they see the promises and the grace of God and their need for it. It's not enough to simply tell them of the good and wondrous promises of God. It's also not enough to try to scare them simply with hell and tell them of their need. It's a combination of both. You can get someone to have a confession of faith by scaring them with hell. But that doesn't mean that they're actually saved. They're just afraid to burn. There's a difference. You can get someone to want heaven for the pleasures of heaven, for the wonderful things of heaven, and never desire a relationship with God by telling them all the good things about it. We must give both. Our net must not have a hole in it. Both parts of the gospel message are necessary so that they can have understanding when they finally do come to faith in God. The need is important for there to be a desire. Very few things in this world do we desire if we don't first see a need for them. So here's a well-known preacher by the name of Colin Smith. He says this, and this is how he explains it. He explains it quite well. He says, forgiveness won't mean anything to you until you see that you are a sinner. The gifts of the Holy Spirit won't mean anything until we see that we can't live the life that Jesus calls us to live apart from the Spirit. The promise of everlasting life won't mean anything to you until you understand that you are lost and that there is a hell to be saved from. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you, folks? The gospel message is two parts. It is, yes, the promises of God, but it's also the judgments of God. The need is the reason for the desire. If you want them to have understanding and understand the need of their salvation, they must understand the why, which is what the weight of our net serves. Now, this brings us to a biblical truth concerning the Great Commission. Now, in order to accomplish our mission of catching men, of soul winning, we must cast the gospel net, and we must deliver the gospel. A fisherman who does not go fishing catches no fish, if you understand what I'm trying to say. And this is something that we're guilty of, by and large, as Christians the world over, okay? This is something that we are very, very guilty of. Now, we went out on Saturday morning. And as we went around, I was delighted to find that 2, 3, 4 of the houses that we went by, they had told us that just a few days prior, some other church had been by and knocked on their door and gave them the plan of salvation. This is the first time since I've been here that I've heard anyone say, hey, yeah, someone else is already visiting us, all right? And before I moved here, back in Illinois and in Iowa, it was the same. Quite often, the only people who I would see out knocking on doors or giving the gospel in one way or another was like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses, those kind of guys. I very rarely saw other Bible-believing Christians doing these sort of things. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if, in order for us to cast our net, you have to be someone who goes door to door and do that kind of thing. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if we're not fishing, we're not going to catch anything. And we're called to do that. Jesus called us to do that, to share the gospel message. So often we live our lives, we take the promises of God and the blessings of God, and we do. We strive day by day to follow Him, right? And it's not easy. We all strive with this. However, so very often we neglect, usually just because of complacency, we neglect to give that gospel message to others, to fulfill the Great Commission, to do that which we're really called to do, all right? And don't get me wrong, it's good for us to do all the things that we do, all the ministries that we do, and this is something that I feel is very important, and it's something that is continually on my mind, concerning the ministry here at Bluestone Baptist Church. Continually, I am constantly evaluating, questioning, and praying about the ministries that we have, because it's important to me that all of our ministries are focused on the gospel. It is good to want to be kind and loving to our communities. It is good for those ministries that feed the hungry. It is good for those ministries that do a plethora of good things, philanthropy and among other things, to give love and charity to the community, to be a beacon. That's all great. But the purpose of everything that we do as the Church of Christ is meant to be the gospel. That's the reason we do all these things. What good do we do to the scripture, for instance? The scripture tells us this. It says that, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world? What profit is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So with that thought in mind, what good is it for us to do all these good things for people, for the community, for the world, if we're neglecting to give them the gospel message of Christ? If our net isn't being cast, if it's got a hole in it, ultimately we're just some really nice people. But we're not Christians, because Christians follow God. They follow Christ, and Christ has called us to give the gospel message. Now, we always have to be asking that, because our goal is we want to be ensuring that everything we do is progressing us towards the accomplishment of the Great Commission. So looking back now at verse 17 there, first chapter of Mark, in this verse, if you look at it, you will see that there are three things. We see a proposition, a promise, and finally a purpose. All right, a proposition, a promise, and a purpose. And it's important to understand this, because it sets the stage for us concerning what clear communication of the gospel message looks like. So often we design different services and events with ministry in mind, but far too often these ministries fail to focus on the gospel. Even though the gospel is there, there may be a semblance of the gospel in it, or maybe a part of it, but we don't often give the full gospel in the ministries and things that we as Christians come up with. Even though our hearts are right, our purposes, we fail and we come fall short. So let's talk about these three things that we see here in verse 17. Note first the proposition, all right? The proposition, and that is, come ye after me. So he's proposing, or he's inviting them, right? The first thing we notice from Jesus' words is that he makes an offer. And Jesus is not merely inviting them to follow him from place to place physically in the world. His invitation is actually far more than that. His invitation is for them to immediately detach and separate themselves from the world and all that it has to offer, all of its support, all of its comforts, and attach themselves wholly and completely to Christ. That's what he's inviting them to do. To detach from the world and attach to Christ. So when he says, come after me, he wants them to be with him and like him. Now, the interesting thing is that this is what we're called to do, and this is what we must invite the lost to do when we give the gospel. For only with Jesus leading can the lost find life. A sweet message or a comforting message will do them no good in truth. Do you understand what I'm saying with that? That it doesn't do any good to be kind to somebody. The kindest thing that you can do is give them the honest word of God. The good and the bad, the difficult and the beautiful parts of it. And it's all beautiful once we have the understanding. But for someone who doesn't have the understanding, those judgments and the righteousness and the wrath of God can be a fearsome thing. So there we see the proposition, come ye after me. It's an invitation. The second part of that, though, we see a promise. A promise, and these are the promises of God and the promise that he makes to them. And that promise is, I will make you. And this is an important part of our study tonight as well. Because when he says, I will make you, there's an important fact that we need to understand for our lives. Notice that he didn't say you will become. Notice that he didn't say that you will be made, you will make yourself into. He says, I will make you. In other words, the change that's going to take place, that takes you from a person who is lost to a person who's found, to where you are one day able now to become a fisher of men and to draw others to Christ, is a work that is wholly done by Christ. And we have no part in it, aside from what God calls and puts on our hearts to do. In other words, it is Christ who is shaping and changing us from the inside out. The change that happens is not a natural change. It is a supernatural change, and it is done by God. So we have his promise, and this is the hinge pin, really, of the whole operation, as it were. Notice that Jesus didn't say anything to them concerning what else they would become or what it would take or how this would be accomplished. He simply said, I will make you. Jesus told them that he would make them fishers of men, and we must also understand that our job is simply to cast the gospel net. Only Jesus can bring the fish and hold the fish, thus making us the fishers of men. We are merely to be the casters of the gospel net. That's the role that we play. And see, that's something that the disciples, they seem to understand, is that when he said, I will make you fishers of men, they understood that as they cast the net, just like with me and Roger, without Farron, we weren't fishermen. We didn't have any fish. We were three guys in a boat until Farron caught a fish. Then we're fishermen, right? We are catching fish. Without Jesus, you can't catch any fish, because the power to catch the fish, the power to draw someone to God, to give them understanding of their need, the ability for them to see God as the promise and the hope of their lives, their only hope of salvation, that is done by God. So we cast the net, he brings the bounty. So we've talked about the proposition and the promise. Finally, we get to the purpose. And the purpose there, as it states, is the final part of the verse. It says, to become fishers of men. Now, the purpose behind the invitation and the promise is that we might bring others to God. This is speaking of being disciple makers. This morning with the baptism, we spoke briefly, just for a moment, as I was talking to Megan about and addressing the church, on how now that she's made a profession of faith, she's a new creature in Christ, our responsibility is to disciple and to help her to grow in godly wisdom and understanding of his word and understanding of who God is, all right? We are called to be fishers of men, to be disciple makers, to be those who will plant the seed and water the seed, so to speak. That is our purpose, to be casting out the net and teaching others to cast that net. Those who are drawn by the gospel are the ones who will draw others by the gospel. The salvation, the catching of them, is done by God. And in fact, really, the drawing of them is done by God as well. The part that we play is simply to cast the net out, as I've said before. All of this, of course, all of this and the purpose that it all serves is to glorify Almighty God. Now, I want to touch on something that is a little bit difficult to explain, but I think you'll grasp it. Often we put a great deal of emphasis on seeing people saved, and that is our secondary objective. Often we treat that as if it's our first. But why is that our secondary objective? The reason that seeing sinners saved is so important from a spiritual aspect is because of the glory that it brings to God. That is why the angels rejoice over it. It's twofold. You see, yes, we rejoice, and it is one of our primary missions, because we know that hell, Separation from God is the result of someone not coming to God, not coming to Christ, right? But the reason that all of that is so important is because of the glory of God that he receives through the salvation of the grace. That is the purpose for the grace that he gave. Because God is good and God is merciful. He gave the grace so that his glory could be seen and so that we could have a relationship with him. Remember that all that we do in our lives, including the giving of the gospel, should be focused on the glory of Almighty God. All right? The glory of Almighty God should be our primary focus. And that is why we strive to see sinners won to repentance. It's the reason that we do everything. Now, and I want us to understand something here. It's a truth of who God is and how God is. Although God could bring us to the truth in many ways, he chooses to use us and the gospel word, his word, to bring us to ultimate truth. Let me use the analogy or the illustration. Does God need us to cast a net for him to catch the fish? Really? No. Not at all. Do you think he could give revelation and understanding to a lost sinner without us? Absolutely he could. But it's important for us to know that God has so chose that the method by which men will be saved is the gospel of his word. The scriptures tell us, how can they hear without a preacher, right? How can someone come to know and have knowledge of God without others giving the gospel? It's an important part that we play, an important role, and an honor that we've been given. This is why we must cast the net, so that the truth of God might be known among men. And it's something that I feel just we as a church, and I'm not pointing fingers at Bluestone, but I mean the church worldwide, the people of God, I feel it's something that we're failing in. I feel it's something that we're faltering in. I think there's much more that we could do to cast the net with the gospel message that's been given. Absolutely, especially with all the things that we have at our disposal today. Look at what happened in the turning of the century, but that was many, many centuries ago, so 2 millennia ago, with Christ. They turned the world upside down. The message of the gospel spread like an epidemic. I mean, yes, and it continued for many, many years. You know, a long periods of time as, you know, the Christianity began to grow. But just think of all the things and the blessings and the possibilities that we have at our disposal today. What would the world look like if we were dedicated as the disciples and the apostles were when they received the gospel message? Their entire lives became about nothing more, which I say that almost sounds as if it's as a minor thing, but their lives became completely dependent upon giving the gospel message. Ultimately, all of them, but one, died for that purpose. So I have to ask myself, if they're able to change the world over the course of the next couple of centuries, what could we do today if we were as dedicated as they were, if our lives were wholly consecrated to God and the giving of his gospel? The accurate giving of his gospel. This is something that we ought to be thinking about, thinking of the role that we play. Now, as we close the service, if you've had such an encounter with God as these men did, if he's come to you and invited you to follow, and you have, then praise God for you. And we'll be praying for you and hoping that you're able to cast that net into that heaven and God would reap abundantly. But maybe you haven't encountered Christ in that way. Maybe you've yet to encounter Christ as he invites you to follow him, as he invites you to make him your Lord and your Savior, to allow him to turn you into a fisher of men, to bring you as part of the bride of Christ. If you haven't, then in a moment we're going to give the invitation, and this is the time when the church will sing a song, the congregation will, if you don't know Christ, if you haven't been called to him, if you haven't decided to follow after Christ, then this is an opportunity for you to come down and to speak with me, and I'll show you from God's word how you can be saved, as we call it, how you can be a disciple maker, how you can be added to the body of believers. As the congregation sings, I invite you to come.